Sound Art Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Full Totness Breakfast Experience. My name is Julie Mullen, and I'll be with you from 8 o'clock right now until 9 this morning. Let's have a little bit of a fabulous kickoff to this show, Little Green Bag. Nothing quite like a little green bag, is there? I wish I had a green bag. Hello, Totness. How are you? The weather's looking good today, but we'll get more info at 8:10 from Martin Seeger about that. So, to anyone out there in Dartington, Totness, or the local area, tuned in to 102.5 FM, this is the Full Totness Breakfast Show. It really is. To be honest, I'm still reeling from yesterday's show because we had a voodoo session with three chums from the local area who are running gigs for the Totness XX. And Tracy Gillies recommended a song for us at the very end. And it's by the band Wet Leg. In fact, I'm tempted to play it today again. And Chaise Longue is called, and apparently it's all over the radios in the real land of radios, but this is the real land too. She then later on gave me a bit more insight into that song, so she's had me laughing practically all night, actually. So how did you sleep? Are you okay? Are you feeling sensible or irregular? Well, whatever you're feeling, we've got a terrific guest on the show at 8:20, Sarah Louise Connolly. Yep, she's coming on, it's true. Oh, we better get the paper charms going. Should we get the paper charms going? Yeah, come on. Let's get some paper charms going in her honour. Paper Charms by the Chocolate Kings. Almost edible, aren't they? I forgot to say the little green bag was from an album, from the film, obviously, Reservoir Dogs. And it was George Baker selection, whatever that means. Don't ask me. Don't ask me, I'm irregular. So let's get to our guest this morning. Because she lived in a palace in Italy. She is a crazy woman from Devon. No, she lives quite local, actually. But I have to say, every time I've bumped into her in Dittersham and in Totnes, there's been a lot of laughter. She is great fun. I love the fact that she's lived in a palace. I've got to get to grips with that. This is in Italy. She is a maker of all things. She studied art. Oh my God, I've got a list as long as my arm. Now, we've got to get the Chocolate Kings and put them to sleep. Good night, dears. Oh God, I'm so abrupt with my song connections. I've got Martin Seeger. He's a little bit early, actually. He's a little bit early. But I think we need to know, Martin, what's going on with the weather out there?
Well, it's really nice.
Oh, God!
The microphone's just done a wobbly there, hasn't it?
Yeah, the microphone's just done a wobble.
No, it's looking great, actually. There's mist and fog patches, perhaps, at the start, and some of them lasting till lunchtime in some parts of Devon. But I think around here, they seem to have cleared. Absolutely lovely sunny day. Feeling warm in the afternoon. Maximum temperature 17, some light winds. But generally, yeah, really sunny and nice. And that seems to be continuing.
Good for dog walking, right?
Definitely.
Very good for dog walking. So it's that moment where we actually connect to the traffic jingle.
It's the traffic report for Totnes and surrounds.
God, I love that. That's Di Levy from Fast Cars. We did it yesterday, we forgot, didn't we?
Yes, we forgot to play it, but there we go. I'm glad it's back. Yes, after that, actually not a huge amount of traffic news for Totnes. The usual sort of build-ups in the morning, of course. Usual hot spots, but nothing particular. The only thing I can find is that there's a little bit further away on the A380, so if you're heading towards the A380 South Devon Highway, there's some contraflow and resurfacing work between the Ashcombe-Tynmouth turnoff at Iddeford as far as the A381, that's more in our direction, the Torquay Road Pen Inn roundabout at Newton Abbot. So motorists should expect delays in that direction, I'm afraid, but otherwise looking good.
Excellent. So that's good information if you're on the road right now. Thank you, Martin. Right. So I think it's time for a message. A message in a bottle. Shall we try that? I think we need that. Sending out an SOS message in a bottle by the Police. If you've just tuned in, it's 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. At 8:20, we've got Sarah Louise Connolly coming on. Oh my God! Bit of the Police to keep you company this morning on this fine Devon morning here in Totnes. And yeah, what a cadoodle. So I definitely have to admit, I shall admit fully and wholeheartedly that I had a bit of a rough night. I was being murdered. I was being murdered in my dreams. It's a horrible dream, actually. Well, it wasn't just me. I wasn't alone. It was Martin was involved. The weatherman was involved, and the traffic man and the what's on man. So that was really a nasty dream. So got up in the middle of the night to clear my head, then went back and had another extremely brutal dream where I'm stepping on stage, and it's all a catastrophe because I don't know my lines, and I've got the script with me. And actually there's someone else who doesn't know their lines, which at least two's company. But then she walks off the stage and says she doesn't want to be part of the play. Anyway, you can imagine. But the funny thing was, in this dream, I never actually got to say any words. It was almost like I didn't know my lines, I didn't know the play, and I'm on stage, but I didn't say anything anyway. So what's the problem, eh? What's the problem? Let's have a little bit of Jamiroquai. We like them. This is going out for Sarah Louise Connolly in preparation for the 8:20. Are you right, love? Seven Days of the Sun by Jamiroquai. And that's taking us up beautifully to the time that we shall knock on the door of Sarah Louise Connolly. Oh, Hero's just popped in. Hello, dear. Trousers is on the loose. He was with us for this broadcast, but he decided that chicken was much more enticing. Now, I know Sarah Louise Connolly has dogs, so we shall find out about those doggies. They sound fun. So let's get her on the blower, shall we? Okay. Now it's ringing out, which might mean she doesn't actually have a signal. Okay, so that's a bit exciting, isn't it? So that didn't connect. Okay, we've got alternatives. We've got other methods. We've got a real live telephone. This is always a scary bit when you're actually putting the numbers in by hand.
Hello.
Hello, I couldn't connect to you on WhatsApp. But
I told you, it's so funny out here in the sticks. It works 1 minute and then the next minute it doesn't.
Well, at least we had the alternative, so that's actually marvellous. So welcome to the show. If you hear a bit of noise in the background, that's just Hero scratching his ear.
So no problem. I have quacking ducks here in the background, so...
Oh, we love quacking ducks. So, Sarah Louise Connolly, welcome to 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio.
I'm honoured to be here.
This is really exciting. Now, I bumped into you in real life. Well, first of all, on the airwaves of Facebook. And then in real life, I met you in Ditsum, or Dittisham, as I call it, actually, where you kind of co-organised, didn't you, the Devon Makers Show at the...
Good. So the idea, we put together a show of local makers and artists and crafters that basically, over the dreaded Lurgy, hadn't had a chance to go to any of the sort of shows, hadn't had a chance to sell any of their work. Mm. And so we thought, let's give everybody an opportunity to come together. We obviously didn't make any sort of, we didn't take a commission, we didn't make a profit out of it as such. We just took the money for the tables to pay for the hall, and we put on this show, and it was lovely, and it was a real combination of lots of local artists, and that's what we did.
Yeah, it was very friendly and really fantastic artistry going on there. Really loved it. Came away with a feather.
We managed to make you buy a feather.
You literally did. It was amazing because it was like I walked in with a rather broken little feather on my hat, and you said, "You need to go to that table over there."
So, yes.
But
Jeff,
then I also bought.
Who makes the most fantastic feather fascinators and pins and 1920s headbands and things, and we managed to convince you.
Yeah, you did it in a really good way, though. I really appreciated your guidance. But
well, that's my saleswoman technique. Yes.
But I came away with a present for Martin. So we need to describe it. You sold me sugar tits.
Yes. So one of the things, basically I do a lot of crafting, and one of the things that I do is something called Grandma's Graffiti, where I go around local junk shops and get pretty vintage crockery, and then I graffiti weird things on it. And so I had a very beautiful... a little sugar bowl with a lid, and I scribbled on the front in a very clever way, sugar tits, and yes. I managed to sell you that as well.
And actually, it's in pride of place in our kitchen. So you are there, remembered probably every day, because I look up, there it is. And Martin loved it, so thank you. But you have had other items.
I do. I had some little sauces for a very old bag, and it's where you put your tea bag when you'd had a cup of tea. You squeeze out your tea bag and you put it on your old bag. saucer, and so varying degrees of rudeness.
Yes,
we kept it fairly tame for the Dittisham crowd.
Yeah, but you also had decorative lights and jewellery. As
I did. So the other thing I got into was, well, I took this sort of vintage crockery and sort of upcycling it to another level when I sort of saw a load of really chintzy dog ornaments. And I started drilling holes in them and making them into lamps. And so I had a Datsun and a boxer and also cups. I was sort of hanging, so I've got sort of almost like chandeliers of teacups and saucers and things like that.
Amazing. So this creativity started when you studied art and design. In was it outside London you studied, I think?
I went to the Surrey Institute of Art and Design, but not the really cool funky part down in Farnham. I was sort of in the suburbs in Epsom, but I went there and that was great, and that kind of set me up to sort of what then followed on to be quite a sort of arty life, really.
Very much so. And I love that within your journey that you found yourself in Italy, living in a palace for 10 years, and you just so happened to bump into a count. So we need to get that story for our listeners.
Well, I had been doing my gallery in Dartmouth for about 5 years at that point. I had a little jewellery gallery, which was really great. I showed about 60 different individual jewellers on a kind of rolling exhibition basis. And I was very lucky that the lovely Dartmouth folk who all had other galleries there really accepted me, and I became part of the gallery gang. And we'd have our private view nights and whatever. And it was great. In with Simon Drew and the Coombe Gallery, for example.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had been doing that for about 5 years, and I was quite young at the time, and obviously it was 7 days a week, and I was a bit fed up, really, so I went on holiday to Milan to see a friend of mine who'd studied with me at the Surrey Institute. And he was a fashion designer in Milan, and it was so hot that the pavements were melting.
Oh, God.
And I'm such a country bumpkin, and we were in this sort of middle of the city apartment, and I couldn't stand it. It was so hot, we wanted to peel our own skins off.
Oh,
you know, you'd have a tepid shower and be sweaty within a minute. So I said, no, I have to go to the countryside, and this sounds very dramatic, but I insisted we went off to the countryside. So we got on a train down to Portanova, which is in La Marche, on the beach, and spent some time there. And on the last day back, we missed the Eurostar back to Milan, and we had 50 euros, and after a rather boozy lunch, we had 50 euros still in our pocket, and decided to get on a bus, and where the bus stopped, we would stay the night. So we sat on this bus all the time until it ended up in this beautiful hilltop village called Cingoli. And we got off there and looked for a B&B, and the only B&B we could find was this sort of amazing-looking palace. So we sort of rather gingerly knocked on the door, and this old count came down and introduced himself, and luckily he had an English nanny when he was little, and so he absolutely adored us, and he was the only person in the whole town who could speak English.
My God.
Yeah, and we stayed the night in this sort of little B&B room. And when I opened the shutters the next morning, I thought, ooh, I could live here. My friend said, don't be ridiculous, Sarah. You know, you don't even know Italian. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I just got this feeling. It was really strange. You know, when you fall in love with somebody and you just can't stop thinking about them.
Yeah.
So I came back to England, and at that point, you know, I was doing a different job, and I was sort of a bit, you know, fed up, really. And I just could not stop thinking about it. So I wrote to the Count, and I said, I don't suppose you know of anywhere to rent, do you? And he said, you can rent the top floor of the palace.
Oh, my God.
For 300 euros a month, so which is about £250. So I thought, well, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Everybody else was getting married and settling down and having babies, and I wasn't doing any of that stuff. So I ran away to Italy, and I stayed there for 10 years.
Oh, my. You see, I do believe in kind of serendipity, and the way you describe that story of, you know, you'd gone out for lunch, you both felt really jolly, you got on a bus, well, wherever it stops, we get off. And then that thing of you couldn't get the, you know, that palace or that location out of your mind. You were clearly, you know, it was on the cards that you'd go back to Italy, wasn't it? In your heart.
Yes. It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really
and
strange.
It was lovely. I mean, it was decaying splendour. So there was wonderful 17th century frescoes on the ceiling. But every time a truck would go down the main road, part of that fresco would drop off onto the road. And of course, I turned up with just a suitcase. So it was the bare minimum of furnishings, you know, a 30-watt bulb hanging from this wonderful fresco. But yes.
What was the count like?
Oh, he was an incredible character. So he'd speak in English very, very slowly because he was trying to think of the English words. So he would leave these big pauses in his conversation where he'd take a big drag from his cigar. And if you'd had a few wines, which you generally had with him, it was really soporific, and you found yourself trying not to do a nodding dog impression in front of him. And he used to ring on my... I had a doorbell from the downstairs, obviously palace, very big, very tall. And he'd ring and make me go down sort of 20 sets of stairs to invite me to lunch. And he would cook me the most wonderful lunches that were out of this old family recipe book. He did once give me his recipe for oxtail stew, but it never tasted quite right. And when I said to him, "I don't think you've given me the full recipe, have you?" He said, "Well, of course I didn't." And I think because as he was making this oxtail stew, he'd be talking to me with this cigar and the ash off the end would slowly drop into the oxtail stew. And I think the secret ingredient was actually his cigar ash.
Oh, my God. Sounds like Catania and Mount Etna or something, like the ash coming from the... What a scream. What did you actually do? Did you continue with your kind of artistic endeavours in Italy?
No. I mean, what I found is, obviously, this was really rural Italy. So, sort of forget sort of Rome and Milan and all of that kind of stuff. Mm. Not even Tuscany. I mean, there was nobody really that spoke English. It was a matter of taking, you know, shaking with my English-Italian dictionary in the supermarket as I'm waiting for my queue, in the queue to ask for sausages. Mm. I didn't, you know, really have a chance to work. So luckily, before I went, I sold everything I owned. Mm. And I went over with only about £3,000. And I managed to eke that out for really quite a long time.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So,
I mean, the countryside is beautiful. The food is fantastic. What I would say is don't marry the local Lothario. That would be my advice.
But you came back with two children, so you obviously...
I came back. So I escaped a bit of a sort of abusive relationship and ran back. And I could go, you know, people said to me, "Why are you going back to Totnes? You could go anywhere." And I just thought to myself, no, actually, I want to go back somewhere that there's creative people, somewhere where I know my children will be safe and happy, somewhere where people are kind. And Totnes, you know, the creative vibe in Totnes, there's nothing really like it.
No, it's fine, yeah.
Italy is wonderful, but there isn't the same British sense of humour either. And humour is really, really important.
These are the reasons, really, you left and came back to Devon. Yeah, but and here you started a brand new business. But
I did.
You have three dogs yourself. So tell me how you actually, where these dogs came from.
Well, I came back to England and obviously I sort of had two young children and had to fit into school times. And obviously because I'd been tied to a cooker in Italy for 10 years, I didn't know where to start, you know. Yeah. I'd gone from having my own gallery and suddenly I had nothing and it had been 10 years had passed and I felt a little bit like, what can I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always loved dogs. I've always been around dogs. I had dogs over in Italy. I've always had dogs. So I thought, right, well, I'm going to try and start a dog walking business and we'll just see what happens. So I put my last few pennies into getting a van and fly place the hell out of all the local villages and Totnes. And that was five years ago now. And it's just grown and grown. And it's a wonderful thing because it's really lovely to be, I feel quite honoured to be able to spend time with people's furry family members, because that's basically what they are. And it's also a real trust thing, because they trust me to take them off. I take them off the lead across the countryside, you know, we'll go to the beach, and they're out of the house for a good couple of hours every day. And it's really wonderful.
Well, it is actually, Sarah, because I know, because we have three doggies, and finding kennels in the local area is completely and utterly impossible. One closed down, another one is so reduced in terms of, I think it's just the person who owns the farm now that's running it. And so, and actually, ideally, what people really, really want is there, as you say, furry animal member to actually be in a sort of a family environment and looked after and much more kind of, you know, at home rather than locked up in a kennel.
So, as well as walking, you know, a lot of the dogs that I actually walk will come and stay with me if their owners go away for a weekend or overnight. And the good thing about that is, you know, I walk them, they know me. They're already spending sort of sometimes up to 2 hours a day, sometimes 5 days a week with me. So, you know, they trot in and they're on the sofa, and here at Roof Towers it's very easy, you know. And my dogs, I have two big Spanish Mastins, which are strays, were strays.
Did you bring them from Italy?
Sorry?
Did you bring them from abroad, or you found them here?
They were brought over from Spain with a rescue charity called Spanish Stray Dogs, which are amazing. And they're Spanish Mastins, which are really big dogs. They're sort of like an overgrown Labrador.
Right.
With an extra, I call them their high heels, because they've got this sort of extra dew claw, which helps them cling onto the mountainside when they're protecting the flock from wolves.
Gosh.
Obviously, there's no wolves around Totnes.
Well, that's
but
what
they
you
do
think.
Have a good set of lungs on them, so I hope they don't start.
That would be hysterical. I wouldn't mind. I think we had a howling dog the other day. It was great. It just goes to
it
show
was
it's
fitting with a conversation.
Yeah, well, it's live radio. You've got another little dog too, haven't you?
I do, Wombat, the miniature schnauzer.
Oh, Wombat.
She's actually the most feisty, and she sort of leaps off the top of the sofa at them. You know, like some sort of Mexican wrestler.
It's a squeak. So now, what's the name of your business? How do people find you?
My business is called Woof, and obviously I do the dog walking. You can find me on Facebook, and I think it's Dog Walker Sitter Groomer, it says, although I haven't done much of the grooming. I've just concentrated on the walking. If you want a groomer, I recommend Pupsters, who's in Bridgetown. She's amazing. So there we are, a little plug for Rachel, who's lovely.
Oh, you're kind. So people, do you have a website and everything?
I'm just on Facebook.
Just on Facebook.
Yeah. Around in my little silver van.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear.
But Woof, it's Woof.
Woof. And so what's with the future for you in terms of your making and creating?
Well,
actually, because you gave me the most amazing velvet pumpkin. Oh my God, that is so beautiful.
Well, yes, I come up with these ideas. Sometimes I don't sleep very well, so sometimes in the middle of the night I come up with, oh my goodness, I need to make velvet pumpkins. So, and then I start making them, and then I tire of things very easily, so then the house is covered in velvet pumpkins. Sometimes I flog them to my friends on Facebook and such like. I also have an Etsy shop where I make miniature food out of polymer clay. So biscuits, your favourite biscuits like custard creams and bourbons and things, made out of polymer clay and in keyring form, etc. So I have that on my Etsy shop. And at the moment, I'm into feathers. It's all about the feathers, Julia. I'm making feather wreaths and feather baubles, and there's the room downstairs is covered in feathers. A sneeze factory, and I'm like John Wayne with my glue gun, that can't be stopped. But knowing me, tomorrow it'll be something else.
And these are for sale, are they, your feather wreaths?
They are for sale. I put them up on my Facebook, I sell these things sometimes, and sometimes I don't, and I end up with piles of stuff.
Well, no, I absolutely love my velvet pumpkin. It's absolutely beautiful.
We will hopefully be having another Devon Makers show soon.
I was going to ask you about that.
It was a lot of work, and I think I did about 400 squats. My glutes the next day couldn't get up the stairs. So when Shona, who co-organised it and who owns Cockles and Hearts Candles, and I feel up to it, together we will combine our efforts and put on another Devon Makers show, and that will plaster Top Mess with leaflets about that as and when we're ready.
And what, the same location or a different location?
No, I think we might do it more Top Mess based this time.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Last time, everybody was booked up, so we'll have to see what we can wangle.
Exactly. Well, that's really, really exciting. We have run out of time. I've had a great time talking to you, Sarah Louise Connolly. You are a card. You are so funny.
Well, thank you for having me, and good morning, Totnes.
And we better mention your kids, because we've got to give them a wave.
Oh, better give a wave to Bianca and Maya, who've been very quiet downstairs.
Oh, well, send big hugs to them, and also I'd love to meet your dogs one of these days. But don't forget, so if you're looking for someone to look after your four-legged friends, then Sarah Louise Connolly at Woof on Facebook is your girl.
Thank you ever so much, Julie. Speak to you soon.
Loads of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Wow. I love those stories of Italy. Oh, my goodness. Just, I want to run there myself. Never mind. Let's have a little bit of a theme tune now. It's quite sort of Italian, I think. John Williams and the theme from Schindler's List. Absolutely beautiful piece of music. And it's coming up to that time when we get Martin Seeger back on the airwaves. If you've just tuned in, this is 102.5 FM, Sound Art Radio, the full Totnes Breakfast Show. So we're going to have a little bit of what's on in the local area with Martin Seeger now. Bit of John Williams. That was very beautiful.
Well, do you remember that film? Gosh,
I got. How come this microphone keeps wobbling?
We need
wobbling?
To tighten that little thing.
The knot needs tightening.
Yeah, we all need tightening.
Yeah.
I think so.
More ways than one.
Right. Well.
Yeah. That film was incredible. Wasn't
it? Wasn't extraordinary.
So moving.
Anyway, I thought after all the Totnes XX, and I will remind everyone that's on this week, and obviously look out for programmes and events going on starting tomorrow. But I thought I'd look a little bit further afield, and I know it's a little bit mainstream for Totnes, but the Palace Theatre in Paignton, I know, has been struggling over lockdown, and they're kicking off again. And do you remember Robert Garnham was talking about
that?
Because they've been supporting him a lot.
Yeah.
So I just had a quick look to see what's on there. And in fact, tomorrow night, they've got The Elvis Years, The Story of the King. And of course, the great thing about these local larger theatres, they do get touring productions. That looks really good, actually. It's the story of Elvis with a proper West End cast, it looks like.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
So that's tomorrow night. And then on the 15th, that's Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got Jeremy Vine turning up, doing a show on stage, What the Hell Is Going On? He's, of course, that Radio 2 and BBC television, of course, presenter. Obviously, it's quite funny. Do you remember we saw his brother, Tim Vine, after the Edinburgh Festival? He's great, of course.
I mean,
he's a famous comedian now. I guess his brother Jeremy's thinking, right, well, I think I better get on stage too. So, anyway, he's doing a show about current affairs and what the hell's going on. I'm not quite sure what it's about, but you can always look it up. So that's on Friday night. Otherwise, yes, of course, we've got the Ashburton Arts Arts Centre. They've got, if I can find the right page, here it is. Friday night, they've got a lovely duo playing from Totnes via Bristol, indie folk duo called Long for the Coast with Dan Whitehouse.
You mentioned that, didn't
I? I haven't mentioned that. Yeah, and on Saturday night, they've got the Scribes, the rappers.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, all sorts of stuff. I've mentioned Oliver Sacks. There's a film on at the documentary film starting Friday night, but it's going on every other night. That's at the Barnes Cinema. So, yeah, a few things on, but do look out for Totnes XX.
And actually, didn't we say that we might go down into the town and take little pictures of posters of stuff? Because actually, the other day, down by Morrison's, that used to be a cafe. Do you remember what it was called?
I can't remember, sadly.
No, it was a cafe. Yeah. It's next to Stag's down there. And it's now turned into a sort of sewing emporium.
Yeah, Sewing Collective, isn't it?
Yeah, Sewing Collective. And it sounded interesting that on Saturday the 23rd of October, they've got this a clothes swap. I thought, actually, there's a location for Sarah Louise Connolly, maybe. We shall put our earlobes to the ground to find her a location for the next Devon Makers show. But that's great, Martin. Thank you for flagging all those things up. And don't forget that on Sunday at 3 o'clock, as part of Totnes XX, the Word Cafe film is going to be shown on the big screens at the Totnes Cinema. So that's 3 o'clock. And the local poet and rather amazing poet, Brian Patton, he's performs two poems from his garden in Dittersham, filmed by Chris Plant. It's an amazing film, actually, with Susie David, Kerry Priest, Robert Garnham. Who else is in it? Bevan Pete.
Peter Shearn
of the Full Totnes Breakfast Show. Saf Juno, I'm involved in it. So it was a real pleasure putting that film together.
And
Matt Harvey, for goodness sake, how could I forget him? Matt Harvey, he's our treasure. He's our Totnes national treasure. So much, you know, music. You did the music for it. Thank you, Martin. Beautiful music on the film. So it's only 20 minutes long and it's a free event. And I'll be rambling some poetry as well prior to the showing. So, I mean, in terms of duration, you're looking at 35 minutes. And if you have a glass of wine, then you're looking at, what, a couple of days, really? Isn't that right? So, yeah, try and come along to the Totnes Cinema on Sunday at 3 o'clock. It would be great to see you. Let us have a kind of strange and woolly and wonderful piece of music that I found. This is going out to your dog, Sarah Louise Connolly. Words of Olafor by Peter Roderick. So my thanks to Martin Seeger for the What's On in Totnes and the surrounding areas. In fact, it reminds me that on Friday we'll be talking to Andy, the creative director from Ashburton Arts. Looking forward to that. And tomorrow we have Rory, oh my giddy auntie, who'll be sharing a poem that he wrote in lockdown, and it's called The Visitors. We saw him perform it at Exeter at the Phoenix. Well, it was outside actually in the local gardens there, and but absolutely hysterical. We almost lost the plot, is the truth. It was so funny. So do tune in tomorrow to hear that poem and to we'll find out what he's up to. And on Friday we've got Andy from Ashburton, the art centre there. So thanks so much for continuing the listening. We've got to play that song from yesterday, to be honest with you. Because it is, I think this is very Sarah Louise Connolly, and I think she'd love it. So just in case she didn't hear it, here it comes. Let's get it on full volume, everybody. This is Wet Leg.
Mummy, Daddy, look at me. just to assign someone to worry your mother.
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me.
What?
Hey, you, in the front row, are you coming backstage after the show? Because I've got a chaise long in my dressing room and a pack of warm beer that we can consume.
We had to play that again. It's too crazy. It's wonderful. So that was Wet Leg and Chaise Longue. And actually, I looked them up because I was intrigued. Apparently, they knew each other for 10 years. I think they're pretty young, actually. They went to school together and then they formed Wet Leg, which kind of reminds me of Little Trousers, really, somehow. He's always cocking his leg. So that was that song introduced to us by Tracy Gillies. So thank you, Tracy, for that. We've had a great time with you. Thank you so much to the listeners of the Full Totnes Breakfast show. I know you're probably missing Mr. Peter Shuren most desperately, but I suspect he'll be back. Even if he's just the roving reporter, but I think he'll want the show back. Shh, don't tell him. He's having a rest. So he's having a bit of a rest. But that's not to say he won't be back. But my thanks to Sarah Louise Connolly for being on Super Duper Guest this morning at 8:20. It was great hearing all about Italy and the palace and the cigar. Oh my God. And all the things she's up to with dog walking and the makers, the Devon Makers shows and all the unique ideas she has. So we must have a look at more of her wares. We're going to go out with the Clash. Thank you too to Martin Seeger for the weather and traffic and the what's on. Thank you very much for being part of the show, Martin. So let's go out the Clash and we'll see you tomorrow with Rory.
Time.